Okay, so we are on Daf Chof Dalet Omed Aleph. We're learning a very hard sugya, but we've actually finished basically the hard part of the sugya, and the remaining part is all Divrei Agoda. So therefore, we should do it quickly, and we'd like to try and reach the Mishnah. Hopefully, maybe even today, we'll see how things go. And then we're going to go back to the beginning of the Perek and do some Chazara because it has been a particularly hard sugya. Although the truth is, every sugya we need to do a Chazara, but especially this one. So have a look. We're on the Chof Daled Amud Aleph. We're on the first word of the fourth last narrow line. The first word on that line is Gufa. Like I said, essentially, this was a difficult sugya. We were trying to work out Shittas Rabbi Meir. How is it that you can passel somebody's Dayanim, passel somebody's Eidim? So we've given various answers, four answers all in all. But now we're really veering into Divrei Agoda. Now you may well remember, and the Gemara quotes this, Gufa, Omer Esh Lakish, Peh Kodosh, Yoimar Dovor Zeh, question mark, Toni Eidoi. Do you remember this is the way that Resh Lakish said about Rav Meir? How can it be that Rav Meir, his holy mouth, would say such a thing that you can passel somebody else's Edim? And remember, he initially wanted to say it must be that it doesn't say Eidim, Eidov, Loshen Rabin, but Toni Eidoi in the singular. We eventually fell away from that. We're not so much dealing with that. What we're more interested for the moment is the way that Resh
Holy mouth.
Lakish worded the question. Even though he was clearly querying Reb Meir's position, but he worded it with the utmost honor. And he said, could it be that the Peh Kodosh Yoimar Dovor Zeh? So he clearly was considering Reb Meir with the utmost respect, with the utmost respect. Says the Gemara, Eini, is this really true? The Ha'oma Ula, Ula once said, Horoya is Resh Lakish Beis HaMedrash. If you'd ever see Resh Lakish in the Beis HaMedrash, he himself was of immense stature. Ki'ilu oiker horim. It's as if he could just uproot mountains, v'toychanon zeh bazeh, and he would grind them one on another. In other words, he had immense power, in Torah, obviously, this means, and was an enormous Talmud Chacham. So if that's the case, have a look at Rashi. V'toychanon zeh bazeh, matiach, he would bang and collide one with another. In other words, he was asked one Gemara and then a different Gemara. Alma, so you see that Harifa Tuva Hava. So you see that he himself was extremely sharp. Umikri derech anova pekodesh. So clearly, when he was referring to Reb Meir as the Peh Kodosh, he didn't mean to say that Reb Meir is very great and I'm not. I don't know how to learn, so therefore everything that comes out of Reb Meir's mouth is just Kodosh. No, because Resh Lakish himself was of enormous stature, like you see, as he was a Oikah Horim. So therefore, this is really a little bit of a question. Why was he being so overly respectful towards Reb Meir when he himself was an Oikarim? Says the Gemara, the answer is because as great as he was, Reb Meir was greater still. Omer Avinah, v'haloi kol haroya Reb Meir b'beis HaMedrash, if you'd see Reb Meir in the Beis HaMedrash, you'd see even greater things. Ki'ilu oiker horei horim. Not just mountains, but mountains of mountains, v'toychanon zebazeh. Says Rashi, Omar Avinu, my Tmoho, why are you so surprised that Resh Lakish spoke so respectfully about Reb Meir? Hore, not just the way Resh Lakish was described as uprooting mountains, but here uprooting mountains of mountains. Chloima, what this means to say is Alim Govar Tfei Tuva. He's even stronger and more powerful. So what's your question? Why are you so surprised that Rish Lakish refers to Reb Meir with so much respect? Yes, you're correct. The Rish Lakish was very chorif, but Rameh was even sharper, was even stronger. Says the Gemara, no, you misunderstood my question. Ochi koma, what I meant to say was not that I don't understand why he's referring to him with such respect. No, that wasn't my comment. I know exactly why Rish Lakish was so respectful towards Rameh, because Rameh was a phenomenal Talmud Chacham, oika hori hori. Rather, what I was saying was to the contrary. I wasn't asking it as a question. I was saying it as a comment. Bo v're'eh, kamo mechavavin ze'ezeh. All I meant was to say, not as a query and as a difficulty, but rather as a comment. Look how special this is, the way that the Talmidei Chachamim refer to each other. How mechavev from the Lashon of chovev. Look at the way that they refer to each other so preciously. Even though this is a machlokes in learning, you may have expected him to speak so sharply. No, look at the way, the wonderful way that he spoke about Rameah with so much covered. Look at Rashi. Bo re'ei kamo koima. What he means to say is, loi atmuhi kometami. I was never asking a question. You thought I was asking a question, why does Resh Lakish refer to Rameh with such cover? No, I wasn't asking a question. I was just pointing out. Elohochi kama, all I meant to say was, Bo re'ei kama b'nei Eretz Yisrael mechavavin ze'ezeh. Look at the way that the Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael will soon see that in Bavel it may be different. And maybe that's why Rish Lakish was getting so excited. But look at the way the Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael refer to each other. Dahar Rish Lakish, Chorif, V'chacham Tuvahava. Because Rish Lakish was clearly very, very great. As we said before, he's an Oikah Harim. And nonetheless, the Kari Le Rameya Peh Kodesh. And he still refers to Rameya as a Peh Kodesh. It's not a kasha, it's not a difficulty. To the contrary, he's just pointing out in a very complimentary fashion, look how respectfully Rish Lakish, who himself is no slouch, talks about Rameya as a Peh Kodesh. The Chomachavev Le, he clearly cherishes him, Umiyashev Es HaDovar. And his miyashev, he's trying to sort out and understand every word that Rameh said in order that it should remain. So rather than disagreeing with him and just throwing him out, to the contrary, his words are so precious to me that I'm going to make every effort to try and understand them in order that his comments and his psak halacha should remain. And that's what the Gemara is pointing out. And that's what the Gemara is pointing out, that not as a question, but to the contrary, as a compliment. What a wonderful way, how special it is to see that the Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael cherish each other to this extent. Says the Gemara, and the Gemara gives an example on the second wide line now. The example. Give you another example. Rebbe once sat and said the following halacha. Osur lahatmin es hatzoinim. We know there's halacha on Shabbos of hatmona. Now, we normally associate hatmona with something hot, which you want to keep hot. You've got a pot and you want to do hatmona. In times of Chazal, they would do hatmona with wool or other types of materials in order to maintain, to retain the heat. So what about the other way around? What happens if, to the contrary, you've got something which is not hot, which is cold, and you want to do hatmona on it to keep it cold, like a type of thermos flask, right? A thermos flask is a type of hatmona where you can keep cold things cold. So initially, Rebbe said, it's asa lahatmin es hatzoinim. Just like you can't do a hatmona to something hot, so too you also cannot do hatmona to something cold. That's what he initially paskened. have a look at Rashi. In line with the first wide line, lahatminas atzoinin mayim tzoinin. If you have cold water, umisyore shelo yuchmu, and you're worried it's going to get heated up, you don't want it to get heat hot. You want it to remain cold. Asur latminon b'choil tzoinin b'shabbos. It's also, according to Rebbe, to wrap it up with sand, even though it's all cold, but tzoinin on Shabbos. So that's what Rebbe initially paskin. Says the Gemara, Omar lefono Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi. So Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi said to Rebbe, Abo hitir lahat minas atzoinin. I'm sorry to tell you that my father was matir. So you're telling me it's osur lahat minas atzoinin. I'm sorry to tell you that my father, Rabbi Yosi, this is Rabbi Shmuel talking, Rabbi Shmuel says that my father, Rabbi Yosi, actually disagreed with you and he held it's absolutely forbidden. It's permitted. And guess what happened? Omalei. So how did Rebbe respond? Rebbe responds by saying, if that's the case, kva hoire hazokin. Well, if that's the case, the elder, meaning Rabbi Yosi, has passed on this halach already, and I totally backtrack. I backtrack. Says Rashi, hoire zokin Rabbi Yosi, da ozlinon basre, we go with him. So this is another example of how you see the Talmid Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael are extremely respectful of each other. Instead of commenting, instead of responding by saying, well, I'm not interested that Rabbi Yosi disagrees, my position remains unmoved. He didn't say that. He said, kvahira hazokin. If the elder has already paskin, then who am I to disagree? And I totally rescind. So you see that there's a tremendous cover that seemed to have existed between the Talmidim in Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara proves this because Omar a Papa, Bo v're'e kama mechavavin zeh. Have a look at how they cherish one another. De'ilu Rabbi Yosi kayom hoya kofuf v'yoshev lifnei Rabbi. Had Rabbi Yosi only still been alive at the time, he would have bent, as it were, and sat in front of Rebbe. Zohar Rabbi Shmuel, but Rabbi Yosi, Mamale, Mokim Avoisa. Because Rabbi Shmuel, who's the son of Rabbi Yosi, was filling his father's shoes, and he was completely subservient to Rebbe. For Yosheiv Lifnei Rebbe. So like father, like son. And nonetheless, V'ka'omar Kvahira Hazokin. So even though we can be rest assured that Rabbi Yosi, had he been alive, he would have sat literally like as a Talmud to Rebbe. Nonetheless, Rebbe was so respectful, he said, oh, Rabbi Yosi said it's mutar. That's interesting because I said it's asa. Fine, I'm backtracking. Says the Gemara, Omar Rav Oishia, Mai Deksiv. This is the Pasuk in Zechariah, this is Shtekel in Yonah Diyoma, because we're quoting Psukim, which is going to be the Haftarah of the Shabbos Chanukah, I think. Mai Deksiv, what does it mean when it says, Vo'ekach li eshnei maklois? Zechariah the Novi was told to take two sticks. Le'echod karosi noyam, ule'achar karosi choyvolim. One of these two sticks I called Noyam, Noyam means pleasant, and one I called Chevolim, which means unpleasant, because Chevolim means one who commits injury. Perek HaChevol. So what does it mean there are two sticks, one that we call Noyam and one that we call Chevolim? What does this refer to? Says the Gemara, Noyam Eilu Talmidei Chachomim Sheberes Yisrael. If you want to know who's considered the pleasant ones, those are the Talmidei Chachomim in Eretz Yisrael. Why are they referred to as Noyam? Sheman'imin ze leze b'halocha, because they're very pleasant to each other in halocha. When they speak to each other in learning, they're not sharp, they're very pleasant to each other. And who is Chayvlin? That's the Eid Tamid the Chacham Sheba Bavel, Shemachablin ze b'halocha. They're very attacking. The Tamid the Chachamim in Bavel apparently were less pleasant, more blunt. So if one stick is pleasant and one stick is attacking, then one is referring to Eretz Yisrael, one is referring to Bavel. Have a look at Rashi. Mechablim. Beloshin az v'chamo makshin ze lo ze. In Bavel, they're very sharp and tough one with another. However, Bnei Eretz Yisrael noichin yachad. But the Bnei Eretz Yisrael are very noyach. What does noyach mean? Very pleasant. Umayinin yachad, and they look into things together. Umasakin ze, and they help each other out. Vashmua yoitza lo'er. And between them, the shmua, the halacha, emerges because they're not busy attacking each other. Rather, they're busy trying. They might well disagree with each other. But they do so in the emus, and each one is trying to help each other in order to reach the emes. Says the Gemara. Now these are the psukim in this week's haftarah, I think. V'yomer Eli Ela Shnei Bnei HaYitzhar Ha'omdim. What's Yitzhar? Yitzhar means shemen. Yitzhar is a word that is used for shemen. V'shnayim zeisim oleho. So we see in this pasuk, we have Yitzhar and zeisim. What are they referring to? Says the Gemara. Yitzhar, Omer Rabbi Yitzhak, Eilu Talmidei Chachomim Sheberetz Yisrael, once again, Shenoichin zelo zev alocha, Keshemen zayis. So they're so pleasant to each other, they're like Shemen Zayis. V'shnayim zeisim oleho eilu tamid chomesh bebovel shemeroyrin zelazeh balocha kazayis. So we know a zayis, which means an olive is actually very bitter. But the oil that comes from it is not. So the zayis being very bitter once again, that's a reference to the Talmid Chachamim in Bavel, because they're quite bitter to each other. But the Shemen Zayis, that's not the Talmid Chachamim in Bavel. Says the Gemara Baita, it's another pasuk there in Zechariah. Vo'eso einai vo'eira v'hinei shtayim noshim yoitzois v'ruach b'kanfehem. This is a nevuah that Zechariah was having. And he said, I raised my eyes, and what did I see? I saw two noshim. Yoitzeis v'ruach b'kanfeihem. There was a wind or a spirit in their wings. V'lehena k'nofayim k'knanfei hachasido v'tisoeno ho'eifo b'in ha'shomayim u'b'in ha'oretz v'oimer el ha'malach ha'doiver bi ani Hema moilichois esoefo, the yomer elai livnois bayis be'eretz shinor. So now this is a pasuk in Sefer Zechariah that the Novi is quoting. So he's describing very vividly exactly what it is that he's seeing in his dream. So says the Gemara, Omer Rab Yechna Mishum Rab Shimon ben Yechai, Zu chanufa v'gasus haruach. He described in his dream shtei noshim, two noshim. Now, obviously, when things are seen as in a nevuah, then it's considered metaphoric and it's some sort of moshul. So, these two noshim that he saw in the dream, what was that a reference to? That was a reference to chanufa and gasus haruach. What's chanufa? How do you translate Rabbi Yosef Chanufa into English?
Sanctimony, sanctimony, sanctimonious. over
Okay, I'm not sure what
pretense,
sanctimonious is, but I don't know what
but
chanufah
pretense, pre pretending to be very
is. Right. Chanufah is
religious.
to try and read yourself into the good books of somebody, which is not done in an emistic way. And gasus or ruach is a type of gaiva. So the Gemara is telling you that what Zachariah is describing in his dream is that there were two very bad midos that descended on Bavel. One was the midah of chanufah, sanctimonious, and one is gasus haruach, which was gaiva. Zu chanufah v'gasus haruach sheyordu lebavel. Where did they? Where did they descend? They descended to Bavel. So apparently in Bavel, there are two bad midos. Number one, Chanufa, and number two, Gasus HaRuach. Says the Gemara, V'Gasus HaRuach LeBavel Nochis? Is that really true? Did Gasus HaRuach, which means Gaiva, did it really land in Bavel? Is Bavel really considered, as it were, the center of Gaiva? V'ha'omar ma'ar, surely we have a statement, and it says, Asara, Kabin, Gasus, Yorudu, La'olam. The Gemara tells us elsewhere that there are 10 portions of Gaiva that descended to the world. Tisha, Notla, Elam. Nine of those 10 portions landed in Elam. So Elam must be the world center of Gaiva. Va'achas kol olam kulei. And the other of the 10 portions was scattered around the world. So this is the Gemara's question. How can you tell me that in the Navi it says that where is the place of Gasus HaRuach? The answer is in Bavel. But it seems to me that elsewhere we have a clear statement that's saying that 9/10, 90% of the world's gaiva is not to be found in Bavel, rather in a place called Elohim. So why does the Navi say that he saw that Gasus HaRuach landed in Bavel? Says the Gemara in. Yes. What happened was LeBavel Nochis. Gaiva initially landed in Bavel, the Ishtarbuve, the Ishtarbev Le'elam, but then it moved on to Elam. So, in the final analysis, most of the world's Gaiva could be found in a place called Elam, but initially it landed in Bavel, and from there, whatever this means, it moved on to Elam. Says the Gemara, Dekanami. Yes, we have a diuk that indeed would back this up. If you look carefully at the Lashon and the Pasuk, we can actually infer this from the Pasuk. Why? Because it says, Diksiv livlois lo bayis be'eretz shinora. Shinor is Bavel. And it says, live not law bias. Remember, we said there are two bad midos that landed in Shinar, which is Bavel. And they were home, they were housed there. Which two midos? Chanufa and Gasus HaRuach. They both find their home in Shinar, which is Bavel. Well, if these two midos really find their home there, why does the Pasuk say, live lois law bias? Law means it, not them. Otherwise, it should have said lohem. They found for themselves in the plural a home in Bavel. It doesn't say that. So, what does law sound like? It, meaning only one of these midos really found its home in Bavel. What was that? Chanufa. Whereas Gasus HaRuach did not find its home in Bavel for reasons that we just explained, because even though it landed in Bavel, but eventually it moved away to Elohim, says Rashi. Live nois law bias, veloiksiv, but it does not say, quote unquote, lohem. It doesn't say a house for them. Alma, what do I see? Ho'achas levado nisiyash v'sham. So I see clearly that only one of these two midos remained settled in Bovel. And what was that? Not Gasus HaRuach, but rather the other of the two midos, meaning Kaifa, meaning Chanufa. Says the Gemara, the Ha'omar Ma, we're still in trouble. Didn't the master say, Simon legasus haruach is anius. Va anius lebovel nochis. There is a statement that was said that the simon, if you want to see an litmus test of gasus haruach, you'll find that with anius sounds like poverty. Wherever you find poverty, that goes together with gaiva. People who are gvali gaiva end up being poor. Okay. Va'anius lebovel nochis. And you said that in bovel, anius is to be found. So something now doesn't add up. If you tell me that gaiva, kasus haruach, goes together with anius, and you're also telling me that there's anius, there's poverty to be found in bovel, well, surely that must be that there's gaiva, there's gasus haruach in bovel. And yet you just told me, no, even though it landed there, but it didn't remain there. It moved from bovel, which is Eretz Shinar, and it moved to a place called Eloin. So if that's the case, why is there poverty in bovel if the gasus haruach was moved away? Gasus haruach goes together with poverty, but gasus haruach moves away from bovel. So why is there still poverty? Says the Gemara, you didn't understand what it means, poverty. My anius. What does it mean, poverty? Anius toiro. When we said that gaiva goes together with poverty, it doesn't mean financial poverty, it means spiritual poverty. They're poor in toiro. Bovel were not poor in Torah at all, as we well know. We're learning the Talmud Bavli. So in Eloim, which is this place that Gasus HaRuach was eventually transferred to, there indeed they were poor in Torah. As the Gemara then brings up a pasuk, Diksiv Achois Lonu Ketano V'Shodayim Ein Lo. We have a young sister with an undeveloped goof. This is a reference to Eloim. Eloim is the young sister, the city with an undeveloped goof, meaning they haven't fulfilled their potential in Torah. Why not? Because they're Bale Gaiva, says Rashi. Anios Torah be'Eloim hi. There is indeed poverty in Torah and Eloim, not in Bovel. Doniel be'Eloim hava deksiv ani b'shushan abir asher be'Eloim ha'medina v'loi rovas Torah. But Ezra, however, was the Bovel. The Lomad Choyk Umishpot Liyisro. Yes. Larry, you want to ask me?
Just, what is the difference between Chanifa and Gasas HaRuach? It sounds like they're both arrogance.
They both come from arrogance. But Gasas HaRuach is just being a Balgaiva. I think I'm greater than you. Chanufa is when I'm trying to, as it were, find favor in your eyes. I'm not being a Balgaiva. I'm trying to find favor in your eyes. I'm being over flattering of you.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Larry, everyone knows you're the best guy in the world. By the way, can you lend me $100, please? That's Chanufa. Says the Gemara, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. So who is this small sister with the undeveloped goof, meaning which is the city that didn't fill its Torah potential? Zu Eloim. This is Eloim. Shezoch Salilmoid. Indeed, there was Zoch to learn. But the Loi Zoch Salalamid. But they were not Zeicher to teach Torah because they were Balei Gaiva. My Bovel. Bovel is not the case. Bovel indeed was Zeicher not only to learn Torah but also to teach it. Why is it called Bovel? Why are they known as Bovel? As Rashi just pointed out, that Ezra comes from Bovel and he was the great leader and teacher of Klal Yisrael. So why is that place called Bovel? Omer, Rabbi Yochanan, Blula, B'mikra, blula, b'mishne, blula, b'talmid. Blula means like a mixture. It's all mixed up there. So Bavel is the place where there's a tremendous mixture, a tremendous pouring of Mikra, Chumash, Mishnah, Talmud, Bekitzer. There's much, a lot of Torah, a tremendous mixture, a great cholent of Torah in Bavel. Finally, the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Eicha, B'machashakim hoishivani kemeisei oilam. Literally translated, you have sat me in the dark like dead people, says the Gemara of Yirmiyahu, Zu Talmud shel Bavel. Bavel gets very mixed press. On the one hand, we said that Bavel was not the place of Gaiva, even though we thought it was from Zachariah's dream. It turns out it was only there temporarily and moved afterwards to Elon. So Bavel, on the one hand, was Zeicha to have Ezra. They not only learned Torah, they taught Torah. They're the Bavel, they're the great mixture of Torah. On the other hand, they get a negative press as well because they're considered, like we saw earlier in the Gemara, they are not Noim. They are not pleasant to each other in learning. Look at the last Rashi. They're not so pleasant to each other. The Talmudim Sofik B'yodim, and therefore they don't have that same clarity of learning that they do in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, where the Talmidim are very Noim, are pleasant to each other. So where you're pleasant to each other, and I think we've all seen this and maybe even experienced it, there's nothing worse than having a chavrusa who you're always fighting with, and it seems to be the argument is always about who's right. Well, then you don't get to the MS because each one of the chavrusas just fights to be correct. You're not really looking for the true picture. But when you have chavrusas who are not im ze im ze, they may well disagree. But they're really interested, not I'm right, you're right, my pshat, your pshat, but rather, let's try and get to the MS over here. So Bavel is considered by machashakim or yeshivani because they didn't speak to each other with respect in the same way as in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, their learning was not as clear as it was in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so this Gemara was all Divrei Agada. That's why we learned it more quickly. But as a Hashem Yisborach, tomorrow, Monday, we will begin from the beginning of the Perek again. We have a good daf and a half. It was hard Gemara, and we certainly could do with a day or two of Chazara.